Jim Packard in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good to have you with us today as we talk about craft beer paired with artisanal cheeses. You can watch award-winning Gruyere cheese being made in a traditional Kapper vat at the Rothcase factory on 2nd Street in Monroe, Wisconsin. That's where you'll often find Steve McCune, president of Rothcase. Steve, nice to see you today.
Nice to be here.
And Kirby Nelson is with us again, the brewmaster from Capital Brewery. And Kirby, it's a real pleasure to see you.
Oh, it's always great to come visit with you, Jimmy.
You were on National Public Radio not that long ago as Science Friday made a visit to Milwaukee, and you were one of the panelists there.
Right. Late May, we did it at the Milwaukee Public Museum, and that was an absolute hoot. I really wasn't sure what we were going to be up against. Under these bright lights with all this audience looking at you, I felt like I was on trial or something, but it was actually a great time. Dr. Ryder and a couple other folks on the panel, very knowledgeable. I learned a lot and enjoyed myself.
One of the things I learned is how much the cost of ingredients in beer has gone up in the last year.
We are in unprecedented, scary times like I've never encountered. I think it's unprecedented for the industry. You've heard a lot of publicity about the hops, which is relatively obvious, but that's leveled off. In the long run, I'm more concerned about grain. With, you know, corn prices going up quite a bit, wheat at on levels like it's never been before, competition for the wants of barley to feed animals for emerging nations that are acquiring a taste for beef, we're having stresses on our grain supply like we've never seen before, and that really is a affected the cost of our raw materials to where we've seen increases of anywhere from 100% to 500% for various items that we use within the last year.
Steve, you've got to be feeling some of those same stresses.
Absolutely. The number of the grains that he's talking about, including corn, have had a big impact on feed for milk. And of course, milk has gone up in the last year and a half. It's just slowly gone up to where we're paying in the $20, $21 hundredweight for milk. It's kind of backed off a little bit in the last couple of weeks, much like gasoline and oil has. But it's at a whole new high compared to where it was about a year and a half ago.
So how does that affect your pricing scheme?
Well, 85% of cheese is milk, so you know, that's the main ingredient. And so when you're converting it into cheese, it has the immediate impact on the cost.
Kirby, you wanted to add something?
Well, I think there's an irony. There's been a lot of discussion at the demand for ethanol to be used or for gas additives, one of the reasons corn has gotten so high. But ironically, the prices of corn has gone up so much that a lot of ethanol plants in the works have had to put their building on hold due to the fact that due to their business plan, they would be losing money due to the price of corn at the moment.
I had an opportunity to attend a dinner in June at the Sundance Cinema in Madison, which a variety of Capital craft beers were paired with cheeses from Rothcase. The selections were made by Dan Johnson of the Sundance Cinema restaurant staff, and it turned out to be a real wonderful combination of craft beers paired with artisanal cheeses. Your reaction, Steve, to the dinner that night?
I thought it was terrific. I thought the combination, I was surprised at how many of the beers went so well with cheeses. I mean, we usually associate number of wines is much easier to associate with cheese in many cases. But we've started to do some beer pairings, and I thought that evening showed us an awful lot of different types of pairings that could be done, including the dessert, which I thought was terrific. So,
well, Kirby, the decision was taken out of your hands to marry a beer with a particular food. That was done. That selection was done by Dan Johnson. Were you satisfied?
Oh, two words describe it: outstanding. It was an incredible dinner, and it really opened my eyes. Ironically, for as much as I enjoy beer and cheese, I really not explored the possibilities. And as I'm starting to learn about this, it's just amazing. I've got a great quote here that someone said that wine and cheese are like neighbors, but beer and cheese are like family. I mean, beer and cheese both mm-hmm. have their origins in grass, mm-hmm. processed a bit differently, obviously, but their origins are the same. And a lot of the words to describe beer and cheese, I know in terms of the flavors, like such as earthy, yeasty, caramely, toasty, nutty, little bit floral, rich, creamy, wonderful, outstanding, killer. I mean, they all work for both beer and cheese.
That's right.
And they
That's
work
true.
Quite well together. And Dan at the Sundance just did a fantastic job that night of marrying the two.
We'll talk about the kind of pairings that he did and the kind of cheese and beers that make this work. And any time along the way, if you'd like to ask a question, make a comment about pairing beers and cheeses, then you can call us in Madison at 263-1890 or toll free at 800-642-1234. And we do accept emails at talk@wpr.org. We had a traditional cheese course of, I believe, four different cheeses to begin the meal. That was paired with Capital's Wisconsin Amber. You would describe that how, Kirby, that amber?
The amber itself. The amber is a moderately rich, very malt-emphasized, pleasant beer with a little bit of spicy hop character to it. So with that said, it was a perfect beer to match with a variety of cheeses. Because, interestingly enough, with beer, you almost have to work at making a bad match, but some do work better than others. Mm-hmm. And the amber was a good all-around beer, I thought, to start with.
And, Steve, what were some of the cheeses that were in that first plate?
We had a number of items there. We had a Fontina, which is a milder cheese and went very nicely with a number of the beers that could have gone with the beers that evening. We had a four-year-old cheddar, which I think everybody really liked and remembered particularly. And we had an assortment of flavored cheeses. We had some Havarti's in there as well, and including our Gruyere, which everybody knows about.
Well, then we went to grilled quesadillas filled with Ross Case Grand Queso, fresh veggies, and guacamole, and that was paired with Capital Special Pilsner. Talk about the quesadillas that in which they used the Grand Queso cheese. Talk about that cheese.
Yeah, I that probably is one of the best parts of the meal, as I remember it. I thought the quesadillas were terrific. We used a cheese that we developed about 5 years ago called Gran Queso, and it's mirrored in the image of a great Spanish cheese called Manchego, except Manchego is made with sheep's milk, and in our case, ours is made with cow's milk. The age of it is about 6 to 9 months. This one that I have here today, by the way, is almost a year old. It's a terrific piece of cheese, and what it what the cheese is, because it's cow's milk, it has a tendency to be sweeter at the finish of the cheese rather than sheep's milk, which has a tendency to be tangy. And so a lot of people like it. It's become our favorite at the plant, and also it's also won the American Cheese Society and the World Championship at London for 4 years in a row. So we were really pleased with how that cheese turned out.
Mm-hmm. I had the feeling that this was a perfect cheese for Hispanic who are looking for that kind of flavor, that spiciness in their cheese.
Yeah, what's interesting is a lot of the Hispanics today use a kind of a mild white cheese for a lot of their cooking. But there's a product called Cotija out there is kind of drifts towards the Parmesan. And we found that this cheese is probably what you would call a high-end for the Hispanic population. It's perfect for them. We're finding a lot of our growth in sales, particularly in that area of trade.
And speaking of your sales area, are you retailing and distributing pretty much across the country?
Yes, we distribute across the United States. We do some importing or exporting overseas, although most of our business is concentrated within the 50 states, because we do go to Alaska and Hawaii as well. Our business is concentrated into both the specialty retail area, the Whole Foods, and getting into the regular supermarkets like a Century or Pick and Save and so forth, and also into restaurants. So many of the restaurants in Madison, for instance, you can find our cheeses on their cheese boards or within the dishes, and we supply hundreds of restaurants across the country.
Steve McCune is the president of Roth Case Cheesemakers in Monroe, Wisconsin, and their website, Roth Case, ROTHKASE.com. And Kirby, as we talked about these quesadillas, it was paired with a special Pilsner. Talk about that beer and why it works so well.
I thought it worked well because, like, you know, he mentioned a little bit of sweetness with the end of that cheese. It was a little bit of a contrast there because even though there's some nice maltiness, and malt tends to give us a sweetness in our beers, there's a lot of hop bittering in Pilsner, and that And yet, even though that beer has real nice maltiness to it, that nice dry finish from that hot bittering, I thought it was a bit of contrast, but it really worked well with the quesadillas. I mean, you are right. Those things were, they disappeared off the plate pretty quick for everyone, and so did the beer. Worked mm-hmm. quite well together.
And Kirby Nelson, the brewmaster at Capital Brewing, and you can go to their website at Capital, CAPITAL-brewery.com. And again, you've got your Gruyere cheese being made in a traditional copper vats. Did those vats come from Switzerland?
Yes, actually, we started out with a small one, small in the old traditional style of 400-pound vats, and went to about a 13,000-pound vat for a number of years. And now we actually have two 40,000-pound vats. So obviously our business has increased over the period of time. One of the products that we our favorite product has won the world championship. It's won the best of show. And it is the only Gruyere being made in the United States. So, you know, it's really our pride and joy.
Well, Dan Johnson had a beer onion soup prepared with Capital's Maibock, and it was topped with that Gruyere, and of mm-hmm. course it was paired with a Maibock, and I thought it was one of the best soups that I had ever tasted.
Yeah, it's a shame today that a lot of people, when you go to restaurants, you get an onion soup and they put provolone or mozzarella or something like that. There's no flavor to it. You can tell it's cheese. It looks like cheese, but it doesn't taste like it. Gruyere has that outstanding flavor that goes well with onions and mushrooms. And this is just, it is the perfect topping for an onion soup.
And the beer?
Oh, the Maibock is absolutely one of my favorite styles. And very much a pleasant, easy-to-drink beer, but yet very rich and malt-emphasized, you know, with a little bit of alcohol behind it. And Gruyere is sometimes tended to be described as a little bit nutty and sweet, and I thought that nutty sweetness from that in that soup, along with the flavors from the onions at all in that soup, worked so well with that Maibock. It's just that Maibock complemented that so nice with that big, you know, malt finish that it had.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it.
As you say, sometimes you go to a restaurant and you get an onion soup, but it doesn't have the Gruyere. I will know the difference from this point forward. That is for sure.
Good.
We're talking today about craft beers paired with artisanal cheeses with Kirby Nelson, the brewmaster at Capital Brewing Company in Middleton, and Steve McCune, the president of Roth Case, cheesemakers, cheese retailers, Monroe, Wisconsin. And again, you can find out what they're doing by going to their websites, rothcase.com, rothkase.com, and capital-brewery.com. We're going to pause and catch up with the latest news, come back and take your calls. We'll talk about more of the dishes that were made, and also some of the suggestions that you might have for a beer that you might like or a cheese that you might enjoy, and see what that could be paired with. That's all coming up on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good afternoon. I'm Jim Packard, sitting in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network, and glad to have you with us today as we talk about pairing craft beers with artisanal cheeses with Kirby Nelson, brewmaster of Capital Brewing in Middleton, Wisconsin. Kirby, again, pleasure to have you here. And Steve McCune, president of Roth Case, cheesemakers and cheese sellers at Monroe, Wisconsin. If you go to Monroe, you certainly would want to stop at the Elp and Dell Cheese Store, where you find a selection of these artisanal cheeses, meats, candy, and other gifts as well. And again, Steve, thank you very much for coming in today. Kirby, during the news...
You know what? I tell you what. You guys do the show. I'm going to sit here and work in this Gruyere at Steve bought it. It's like to die for.
Let me have a little sample of that Gruyere again. That's right there. And Kirby was going to steal it, but I better get it off the plate right now. But Kirby did show me something that you can get from the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board, and that is the Wisconsin Cheese Pairings That Please. It's a new circular that they have, how to host a Wisconsin cheese tasting with complimentary beverages and accompaniments, and that would include both wine and beers. So you can find out, for instance, you know, what goes well with a gorgonzola or a provolone or a mozzarella or a Romano cheese. Also about choosing cheeses, getting ready for it, putting on the show, compiling a beverage list, everything you need.
Right. I just stopped over there. Great folks. And they said, besides that pamphlet, if you just want, you can go online to www.wisdairy.com, and that particular chart you mentioned can be downloaded.
But can be downloaded right there.
Good introduction.
So WISDARY, D-A-R-D dairy.com. And again, if you have a question about pairing a beer that you like or a cheese that you like, then we'd be happy to hear from you. The number in Madison is 263-1890. Otherwise, it's toll-free at 800-642-1234. We've talked about different cheeses, including the Rothkäse Gran Queso. We've talked about using the Rothkäse Gruyère, and then also in this dinner that the three of us attended, there were the Fountain Prairie short ribs, braised and smothered with brown ale and bacon gravy, served with grilled asparagus and potato pancakes, and that was done with the Swedish Fontina, I believe. Is that correct, Steve?
Yes, it was. Swedish Fontina is one of those cheeses that's a little milder. It's a great melting cheese, one of the ones that's preferred. And what's interesting about the Swedish products, the Swedish-style product, is that when it's made and it cures, it's almost like a bakery. It has this kind of yeasty smell to it, like bread. And it adds a different, just a different smell and taste and flavor to the cheese, rather than being more in the aged musty area. It's in the sweet and bread type area, and we really like it. It's kind of a nice balance with the short ribs and the tart sweet flavors that come out of that.
So. Mm-hmm. And there, Dan Johnson of the Sundance Cinema paired that up with the Capital Brown Ale.
Right, and I thought the brown ale was quite nice, being a very sweet and pleasant and somewhat mild beer. But I've just got to touch upon something that Steve just said that, again, shows how well beer and cheese complement each other. Bready, yeasty. Those are, both terms that can be used to describe beer. Again, once again, they complement each other so well, just like the brown ale complemented that fontaine that went along with those ribs. Quite nice.
Mm-hmm. If you have a question or a comment, we do have lines open, and you're certainly welcome to ask them in Madison at 263-1890 or toll-free at 800-642-1234. And then finally, it came time for dessert, and that was a thick brownie made with Capital's Baltic Porter and topped with chocolate shop ice cream, and then it was paired with a Baltic Porter.
Nice. Baltic Porter has become one of my favorite styles of beer at all time. For those of you out there, what a Baltic Porter is who don't know, it's a strong porter. A porter is a dark British ale that became popular exporting these ales from Britain to the Northern Europe and Russia a few hundred years ago. And the porter became very popular in the Baltic region, so Baltic breweries started making this porter. But eventually, they morphed into lager breweries. Understand porter being an ale, used yeast that floated to the top. Lager beers are use different type of yeast that settle to the bottom. So these breweries morphed into being continental European lager breweries, but still made the porter formula, but used lager yeast. So it became a bit of a hybridized style. And so a Baltic porter such as ours is a dark, rich beer, yet of moderate body and easy to drink and a decent amount of alcoholic kick. It went great with the brownie. But folks, mark this one down. For myself, Baltic porter goes well with every single cheese I've had and then some. It's my go-to beer when it comes to eating cheese.
Let me ask you, Steve, about pairing something with a soft, ripened cheese, like a brie or a camembert. What would you like to see used with that?
Usually what we do is we pair it with different types of sweet condiments. It's already starting out to be soft and not too much flavor, and it just has a perfect match with some of the best one I've got is which we do down in Monroe is there's a product that's made by Harvest Song. It's called Rose Petals, and it's a sweet it's actually little tea petals of rose tea petals in a sweet jam. And when you take that out and you pair that and taste it, just a little bit of sweetness to go along with a brie or a camembert, it's terrific. It really is a beautiful match. Others are a fig type of figs are not too sweet, and they have a little bit of texture to them, so it goes nice with the soft ripens. But definitely on the sweet category. Sweet.
And what would you?
I wouldn't waste any time. If you want to have some good brie, I would march down to the beverage store of your choice and get a bottle of one of the world's great beers, that being New Glarus Belgian Red. Enough said.
I was just going to say, a pound of Door County cherries in every bottle.
Oh, yeah, that is an absolutely outstanding product. And with brie, yeah.
That is the way to go. Let's take some calls. Stephen and Madison, let's give you a chance to get in here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've had the aged Gruyere before, and I know it's good with the dry Riesling, but either Kirby or Steve, I was just wondering what kind of beer you'd pair it with.
I can barely talk. I've had so much Gruyere in my mouth lately, but a nice, rich, malty beer, a Bock beer, the Baltic Porter I mentioned. We're just releasing our autumn Doppelbock, Autumnal Fire, and I just think with Gruyere, that would be a match of the demigods.
Oh, excellent.
All right, give it a try, Stephen.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much for the call. And let's go to Carl in Green Bay. Carl, what's on your mind today?
Well, kind of a dual question here. What's a good beer that's made with chocolate, and then what kind of cheeses would go with that beer? And I'll take your comments off here. Thanks.
You know, I'm not real familiar with a whole lot of beers that use chocolate in it. But let's get to, just then go to a beer such as a porter or a stout that may have a lot of chocolate, or a dark Doppelbock that may have some chocolate type, you know, sweet, rich characters in it that would be reminiscent of cocoa. So I'd recommend those beers.
All right.
From a cheese standpoint, I think one of my favorites with a chocolate, and we put chocolate on our cheese boards when we do it, we always suggest that they use it with the vintage Van Gogh, which is a more of a caramelized flavor. It's an aged Gouda style. And it has some real sweet notes to it, and it just pairs really nicely the way the milk is caramelized to with chocolate.
Right, and Jim, complimented flavors. Again, when he said that, you know, sweet, caramely, Doppelbock. End of story.
Okay, end of story. Thomas in Manitowoc, let's give you a chance. Go ahead.
Hi. Being that we live here in Wisconsin, we get to enjoy all the great cheeses and the beers here, but when you travel around the country, there's so many people who just don't eat cheese. Is there a way that you can introduce all these great products to different parts of the country that it's totally foreign to them? They think cheese is a different product that they just aren't exposed to.
Well, what I find is that in our category, which are the specialty cheeses, many of those cheeses for years have been supplied by Europeans. They've been imported cheeses from overseas, and a lot of the opportunities for people in Wisconsin to produce and make cheeses to compete in that arena, we've just not been in a position to do that. A lot of things have changed over the last 10 years. And in that, the imports have become much higher, much more expensive, and the American cheesemakers have become a lot more prolific in making and developing great specialty cheeses. It takes time to get that out to the market. As I said, we sell all over the country. We still have inroads that we have to make in certain areas. But we have major increases in finding people that want to buy our products. It's going to take some time, but I believe the American consumer is, this is kind of like where wine was, 30 years ago in American wines. And I think there's a huge amount of growth potential, and I think Wisconsin's right at the beginning of it.
And how about the competition with that well-known state to the west, California, which claims to make the best and the most cheeses?
Well, I think they claim to make the most. They do produce more milk than we do. On the other hand, we have I believe it's more specialty cheeses are produced in the state of Wisconsin than any place else. We have tons of cheese makers that are making just great cheeses all over the place. A lot of the cheese that's made out in California, there are specialty cheese makers, and there's some good ones. But a lot of the tonnage that you're talking about comes in the forms of block cheddars and mozzarella and things like that. Whereas if you look at the state of Wisconsin, a lot of the specialty cheese is grown as a percentage of the total.
So, Thomas, good luck to you in your attempts to educate the nation in cheese consumption. Let's talk for a second about pairing cheese with a stout beer. Kirby, do you have a stout cheese to go along with a stout beer that you like, or are you going to rely on Steve's recommendation?
Yeah, I've got to admit, a lot of folks ask us why we don't make stouts, and quite frankly, a stout's not one of my favorite styles of beers, but a good stout, I suppose, would do very, very well with a good aged cheddar. You know, a good stout is a very much of a, let's face it, I always think of Guinness, that unique richness that it has, yet real dryness to it. And for me, I'd probably enjoy that quite a bit with an assertive cheese, such as a very good aged cheddar. But I have to admit, I am not the biggest consumer of stout and have not really tried them with a wide variety of cheeses yet. Apologies for my ignorance.
Mm-hmm. No, and I think you've made a good choice. I think that you certainly could go to a milder cheese so that you don't take away from the stout. But I think stouts require some competition in the flavor. I mean, you need to compete with it. So I think the hardiness of cheese, it's got to be an aged cheddar. It can't be something that's too mild. If you think about Welsh rabbit, you know, that you could see with black bread or something like that with a stout. That's the kind of thing that might work. So,
right, and I think, again, it gets back to that kind of standard rule of thumb. You know, try to choose something that complements each other. If you have a big, rich, strong beer, make sure that the cheese you're going to serve with it, you know, has a bit of character that can stand up with it and, you know, won't get lost in the competition, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. So if you've got a younger cheddar cheese, you know, 6 months to a year instead of that good four-year cheese, that four-year cheddar that you have, then does the beer change because it's a lighter flavor?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's not that you can't do it. I think you can, but the problem with the stout is that it requires something to stand up, or it's all about the stout. In cheese, I think that's where I would go. Whereas with a milder cheddar or something like that, I think you're looking at some lighter beer, maybe a Pilsner.
Right,
or
I would
something.
Say, or a nice Munich type Helles, you know, a moderately pleasant right. malty beer, or a good German style lager, or standard American lager for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Right. We're talking with Steve McCune, the president of Roth Case Cheesemakers in Monroe, Wisconsin, Kirby Nelson, brewmaster of the Capital Brewery at Middleton, Wisconsin, and Bill in Madison is next. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, I've got kind of have two questions. I've forgotten about the other one, but the one was I was wondering what type of beer you might pair with Limburger, and the other question is I have... I seem to be allergic to beers. The only beers I can drink are stouts, porters, and dark beers like Berghoff Dark or something like that. If I'm drinking any other kind of beer halfway through the glass, I get a severe headache. But I can drink stouts and porters all night long.
What do you suppose might account for that?
That's a difficult question because it probably sounds like an allergy-based problem of some sort. And, you know, let's face it, you're talking about beers that... have a lot more richness to them. Traditionally, they're not as highly hopped as other beers. With that said, a lot of American stouts and porters have quite a bit of hoppiness. They're ales as opposed to lagers, yet Berghoff Dark is a lager. So, boy, Bill, I don't really have an answer for that. Again, you know, allergies can be tricky things. It might just be the particular beers that you're choosing have a certain yeast or hop component, for example, that you might not react to as much as you do other ones, but that really is a difficult question. I'm sorry, I really can't give you a definitive answer.
They don't burn or singe the malt or do something special with porters and stouts that cause that?
A certain percentage of them are, but understand, they're just part of the makeup of the grains used. There still is going to be a certain percentage of not, for lack of a better term, burned or highly kilned malt that's still going to be in the beer to help make it up that you're going to find in a pale lager also.
Okay.
Limburger has a lot of Limburger has to do with the smell, not the taste. So you can actually, I think you can get into a milder beer with a Limburger, even though the smell kind of pushes you towards a stronger beer. But in your case, it sounds like you can't do that anyway. So my suggestion, particularly if you like Limburger, is to stick with the stouts and the box.
Okay.
All right, Bill.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much for your call. And we do have a line open for you for your question or comment in Madison at 263-1890 or toll-free at 800-642-1234. Your vintage Van Gogh, Steve, is aged for a minimum of 6 months to produce its flavor with the pronounced caramel notes. Talk about that Van Gogh.
Yeah, it's one of our top selling cheeses. We developed it not as a Gouda. I mean, it looks like a Gouda. All the images of it, but it's actually a full cream cheese. Whereas most Goudas and Edams are skimmed, this product is actually a full cream product. And with that, it gets a little bit, as it ages, it gets a little bit of that caramelization. Milk has a tendency to caramelize. It has a little darker color. So the color actually comes out from it. And the older it gets, the drier it gets. But with the full cream, it still has a tendency to be a terrific melting cheese. So one of the nice things about this, it's a great table cheese. It's wonderful with all kinds of things and match almost any beer that... that Kirby's got, but one of the other nice things about it is it has, because it still has that creaminess to it, it's wonderful for cooking. So instead of just being a table cheese, it's one of the favorites for a lot of chefs.
Bill, thank you very much for your call. Kirby?
That just sounds, Steve just described that particular cheese, sounds like Autumnal Fire would be perfect with it from its younger stages to its older, because he's still talking about a very, you know, rich, caramely, you know, creamy cheese, and Autumnal Fire is a very rich, sweet, almost creamy beer, and yet as this cheese ages, just tends to get a little bit of dryness to it. It also would still probably work well in complementing the sweetness from the fire. So, yeah, I've got to try that since the fire was just released. I'm going to have to get some of that.
I'll get you some of that.
And a caller wondered about corn allergies in regards to beer. Are you familiar with allergies to corn as a problem for consumers?
Well, again, you know, some beers in this country in particular are made using corn as an adjunct, you know, instead of using strictly malted barley as a source of starch to turn to sugars, you can use other grains such as corn, rice, etc. Some of the larger American beers evolved using corn as part of their recipe. We don't use any corn in our particular beers. Some breweries do, some don't. If you have an allergy to corn, for example, or something from the corn, you should check with the beer that you're interested in, the brewery itself, to find out if there is any corn or corn products in it.
Mm-hmm. Now, we talked about some handouts that people can get and use as they travel around the state, the newest of which from the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board at wisdairy.com is the Wisconsin Cheese Pairings That Please, How to Host a Wisconsin Cheese Tasting with the Complimentary Beverages and Accompaniments, and that is for both wines and beers. And in there, you'll find out that if you have a mascarpone, a rich, creamy cheese with a clean, sweet finish, that the raspberry or the cherry fruit lambic, or I suppose the
Belgian
cherry, the Belgian cherry Rare. Beer from
New Glarus.
From New Glarus Brewing Company would be a way to go there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that you can get simply by going to wisdairy.com. There is also a traveler's guide to America's Dairyland, which has a map of many cheese retail locations and plants around the state. And in there, you'll find Roth Case, which has the Alpendel Cheese Store. Talk a little bit about that store.
Yeah, when we started when we purchased the plant and then renovated it, it had a retail shop like most cheese plants do. Some of them are just a refrigerated case at the front door where somebody can come in and buy 5 pounds of Munster or something like that. The Alpendel store is a little bigger than that. Everything in there is products that we make. There are also a number of products that are from local cheesemakers in the area. It sells any kind of cheese that you would want to buy, you could probably buy in that store. In addition to that, they have sandwiches, and they have fruits and jellies and condiments that go with it. They have crackers and there's also, you can get a cheese head and you know, all those things that are Wisconsin.
All the necessary equipment.
Yeah, whenever we have guests in, you know, they all have to get a cheese head. So I think we move a bunch of cheese heads as well.
Let's see if we can get one more call in. Alberta in La Crosse. Hello, Alberta.
Yeah, hi there. In Germany, I like the Weizen beer. I think it's the wheat beer. And that was one I never got a headache or a migraine from.
Well, you've got to get a hold of some of this beer that Kirby makes with wheat. Right, Kirby?
Right. Well, she's, I'm sorry, your name again?
Alberta.
Alberta's talking about a Bavarian-style Hefeweizen, which is a very interesting beer. It has a certain percentage of wheat in it, and it uses a yeast that gives it a very almost, think a spicy bubblegum mixed with banana, clove-type flavor. When they're done right, they're very, very, very good beers. We had made one, but it's in hibernation at the moment due to the fact just people are looking for the German labels, but we are making a very Wisconsin product called Island Wheat, which is different in that it's a North American wheat ale, not any what you could say complex slash funky flavors. It's a pretty straightforward beer, but we're very proud of the fact that we're growing the wheat on Washington Island off the tip of Door County, and the farmers are having a great time doing this for us. In fact, we've just released a new product called Rustic Ale, which utilizes a lot of the grains that they grow on Washington Island.
Kirby and Steve, thanks very much for being here today. The time has flown as we talked about pairing cheese and beer. It's been a lot of fun.
It has been. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure. I'm getting this cheese tray now.
So you can find out more about Rothkase, RothKase.com, and capital-brewery.com to find out more about what Steve and Kirby are up to. I'm Jim Packard. Thanks to Martinez White for on-air phone production today. Tomorrow, Tom Kupsch of Casanova, Wisconsin, will provide a portrait of the amazing Dr. Evermore, Tom Every, and Doug Miller and Ann Pryor will be along to remember and celebrate some cultural traditions in Wisconsin here on the Ideas Network.